Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Titus, chapter 1. We're going to do our best to expound verses 10 through 16. Let me get the board situated up here for us. And here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Don't Be a Cretan. Don't be a Cretan. Okay, you're probably wondering, what is a Cretan? Well, it's mentioned in the book of Titus and also in 1st and 2nd Timothy. But Paul wrote about these folks. They were very devious. They were disobedient. They infiltrated the church. They wanted to perverse the Word of God. And so we are reading in these verses that Paul wrote to Titus, telling him, be careful about these folks. And listen, 2,000 years have come and gone, and it's no different today. There are still a type of Cretan that will come in and cause havoc in a church. Oh, yes, they will. They come in many different facades, false teachers, false prophets. Oh, that's right. Brother and sister so-and-so, looking for a title, looking to be seen, looking to be heard, and they have no heart for the things of God. They don't have no heart for you or me. No, they're there for selfish gain. And so we're going to read about this in the book of Titus. And so let's go there right now. Let's start off with verses 10 through 16. And let's have the Holy Spirit have his way. Let's go. And it reads, for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Okay, those were the Jews that were circumcised. Now, look at this. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things that they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. Wow, look at this. One of them, a prophet of their own, said Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Verse 13, this testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. Praise God. Look at verse 15 and 16. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Are you catching this, saints? Being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, Paul had these type of people to deal with. And he wrote about that. He gave letters to Titus and 1 Timothy and many others to watch out for these kind of people. Listen, 2,000 years have gone by and they are still around. They'll come in with many different facades. False prophets, false teachers. Oh, that's right. Looking for titles. Looking to step on you to get there to the top. Whatever organization, how your church is structured. Saints of God. We're going to see through this expository teaching how we can defend ourselves, how we can be equipped, how we can shield our hearts. And listen, we don't have to get angry. We don't have to get vengeful. We don't have to get hateful. We use the Word of God. Hallelujah. For God speaks all by himself. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, let's go now to verse 10. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those, what? Of the circumcision. You see, my friends, false teachers Paul and Titus faced were those who insist on circumcision for salvation, and it was basically the Judaizers and the Cretans. These were Jews who taught that Gentiles had to obey all the Jewish laws, all the rules and rituals before they could become Christians. You see, my friends, this regulation confused Christians and caused problems in many churches where Paul had preached the good news. Paul wrote letters to several churches to help them understand that Gentile believers did not have to become Jews first in order to be Christian. God accepts anyone who comes to Him in faith. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God, praise God. Let's look at this for a moment. Look at this verse of scripture that I found right here in Romans 1:17. Or in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall what? Shall live by faith. Praise God, praise God. Look what else I found in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 2 through 7. Look at this. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Wow. Look at this in verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's a great question, isn't it? Look at this in verse 6 and 7. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, verse 7, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. There it is in a nutshell. It's believing God, believing by faith that the Word of God is true. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Praise God. Praise God. We don't have to believe fables and hearsays and people who think they're theologians after 3 months of salvation. No. The Word of God will speak all by itself. Can I get amen? You see, saints, although the Jerusalem Council had dealt with this issue, devout Jews who refused to believe in Jesus still were trying to cause problems in the Christian churches. Wow. And the ruling of the Jerusalem Council may have been honored by those within the churches, but these outsiders did not recognize the apostles as having any kind of authority. But here Paul identified three characteristics of this brand of false teachers. Let's look at the first one right up here, saints of God. Number one, they rebel against right teaching, flouting the authority. Look at this, of Paul and Titus. In other words, dissing them, disrespecting Paul and Titus. That's what these Judaizers, these Cretans, would do. Number two, they engage in useless talk, speaking lots of words and saying nothing. Oh, that's right. I like to put it like this. Talking loud and saying nothing. No different. Let's look at the next one right up here. Number three. They deceive people because they do not have what? The truth. They don't have the truth. Wow. Wow. Saints of God, we need to be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen? We need to have true spiritual discernment, especially in the day that we live in. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 11 in Titus chapter 1. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. Did you catch that, saints of God? For dishonest gain. You see, these false teachers must be silenced. The Greek word literally means to muzzle them. Their wrong teachings was ruining people's faith, whose families had been affected, causing confusion in the church. It's no different what takes place today. Look what 1 Timothy says right up here. Let's look at this. And 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. Look at this. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, meaning teaching, which accords with godliness, verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, and reviling evil suspicions. Look at this in verse 5. Useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. What? From such withdraw yourself. Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, these teachers taught not the trustworthy message of the gospel, but their own ideas. Their goal was not to glorify the Lord and build his church up, but to make money, to fleece the flock. And naturally, it was hoped that these people would respond to the truth and be united with the true body of believers. Praise God. Praise God. But during that day, it was a struggle. But the power of God and the providence of God, these people would not, hallelujah, hallelujah, have its way against the will of God. Let's move on now to verse 12 in Titus chapter 1. Look at this. And it reads, one of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Wow. Wow, that's pretty harsh, huh? That's pretty harsh. Saints, Paul quoted a line from a poem by Epaminondas, a poet and a philosopher who had lived in Crete 600 years earlier. Paul called him a prophet because other ancient writers, notably Aristotle and Cicero, did so, and because his own countrymen had gave him that title. Wow. Wow, saints. Paul was not saying he was a prophet in the biblical sense. The quotation reveals basic character flaws in the Cretans. They were liars, cruel animals, referring to unrestrained brutality and lives out of control, and they were lazy gluttons. Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, the reputation of the Cretans was so bad that the verb form of their name, keritzo, was used by the Greeks to indicate lying. Paul applied this familiar phrase to the false teachers. Wow. Wow, my friends. Look what I found right here in Philippians. Let's go to Philippians right here. Chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Look at this. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. I need you to catch this, saints of God. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that there are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Oh, that's right. Not everyone that comes to church is a stellar saint, saints of God, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on what? Earthly things. Look at this in verse 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, who will transform, praise God, he who will transform our lowly body, that it may be what? Conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed that God is doing a wonderful thing in you? God is raising us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. God is strengthening you. God is building your character. God has put a shield and a buckler around us. God has given us spiritual discernment. Let me just say this. If God be for us, who could be against us? Can I get amen? And so we are to gird ourselves up in the truth, putting on the helmet of salvation, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Our loins girded up with truth. Our feet shod prepared for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are living in the end times, saints of God, and we need to be built up in our most holy faith. We need to discern what comes into our church. These people were real, and it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Let's move on to verse 13 in Titus chapter 1. And it reads, "This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply." Look at that. "Sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." Oh, that's right. Sometimes someone needs a good rebuke, saints of God. The Cretans could hardly argue with one of their own honored prophets. So neither did Paul. Having been in Crete, Paul knew from firsthand experience the type of people with whom Titus was dealing with. Paul's recommended remedy was to rebuke the wavering believers sternly, then if possible to restore them to a strength in faith. That's right, a forceful, direct response early, saints of God, would prevent utter chaos in the church later. It's no different. If you see someone wayward and they're new, you have to nip it in the bud right away. Can I get an amen? And help them grow. You don't toss them out. But if they remain there to be troublemakers, to be evildoers, then you bring them to the church elders and then we handle it. Can I get an amen? And so, saints of God, if the first believers were to develop unhealthy spiritual lives, they would carry their disease into the ongoing life of the church. So it was better to deal with the problem right away, like I just mentioned, and then to let it build up from there. Praise God. Praise God. But even here, the goal demanded that even the least hopeful candidates for the church be given the opportunity to come to faith. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found in 2 Timothy right here, chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Look at this. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Wow, look at this. "Preach the word." Say that with me at home. Preach the word. "Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." Look at this. "And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry," saints of God. Praise God. Praise God. So, as you can see, we are to preach, and there are times where we have to rebuke. Can I get an amen? But it's not to puff ourselves up. It's to restore someone, to build someone, to bring them to faith, that they would understand the things of God. The things of God are important, and they need to have true discernment that God cannot be mocked. Can I get an amen? Okay, let's move on to verse 14 of Titus chapter 1. "Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn," what? Turn from the truth. There are people that turn from the truth. Wow. You see, saints, apparently the false teaching centered on two errors. First, Jewish myths, probably some useless speculations of the Old Testament. But I found this right here, found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse, look at this. "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may," what? "Charge some that they teach no other teaching." Praise God. That was important, saints of God, that they would not give heed. Look at verse 4. "To fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes, rather than godly edification, which is in faith." Look at this. In verse 5 and 6. "Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk." Wow, wow. You see, saints, Titus well may have been facing various shades of criticism and cynicism, all kinds of evil manner of people which were part of the Cretes and the Judaizers, in which it diluted Judaism and was being blended with various forms of paganism to yield a deadly brand of godless religion. And secondly, these human commands most likely focused on rules and rituals, and especially Jewish laws regarding what was clean and unclean, as is evident from Paul's teaching. Titus faced the lethal combination of religion and falsehood, saints of God, and such mixtures have always presented a challenge to God's people. Well, today the spirit of our times applauds those who create their own personal religion. And there are many false religions out there. We don't have time. That's another teaching for another day, another time, on all these denominations. You see, my friends, self-made rules and guidelines that come from human teaching and not God should never be the basis for the Christian thought. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. Wow. This is a serious statement written to Titus. You see, my friends, phrases like this one, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure. But be understood in both immediate and wide context, saints of God. Paul was not teaching moral relativism. As long as I can call myself pure, whatever I choose to do is therefore pure. No. But he was speaking against the superficial external legalism. And even the dietary restrictions or food laws presented a form of religion that people thought provided spiritual substance, but which proved, saints of God, to be empty of real spiritual help. That's right. The rules and regs do not work. Those who believe sound doctrine and live their faith do not need to worry about rules and rituals regarding what is clean or unclean. Praise God. You see, saints, no stronger denunciation could be made to these false teachers who taught the need for following rules and rituals in order to be clean and pure. Because of their inner corruption, nothing is pure. Nothing they do, say, give, or teach could be pure because their minds and their consciences were defiled, echoing Jesus' teaching. Praise God, praise God. Let's look what Jesus wrote for us to understand. Let's go to Mark 7, 15 through 19. Look at this. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. These are the Cretans. These are the Judaizers. These are the false teachers that come in. They come in our churches today. Look at verse 16. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Look at this. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And so he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Look at verse 19. Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. Wow. Wow. Jesus explained so many things clearly, saints of God. Look at this. In Luke 11, 39 through 41. But the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees, make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness, foolish ones. Look at this. Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? Verse 41. But rather give alms of such things as you have. Then indeed all things are clean to you. Wow. Wow. You see, saints, Paul explained that a person who is pure on the inside cannot be corrupted by the outside influences. But a person who is corrupt on the inside corrupts everything around him. There can be no purity for such a person. Wow. Wow. And so, my friends, we're going to look at our final verse here in Titus chapter 1. And it reads, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Paul was no joke. That's right. He laid it out by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, saints, the corrupt and unbelieving false teachers claim to know God, but their actions reveal their true nature. And no matter what rules they claim to follow, they deny God by the way they lived. And the false teachers professed knowledge of God, and with their Jewish background, may have been well-versed in the Old Testament, but they based their faith on works, not on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, they denied the God they claimed to know. But my friends, Paul, hallelujah, thank you, God. He employed strong words because the sin of these false teachers deserved strong condemnation. Paul called them despicable, revealing basically his disgust at their sin and hypocrisy, their disobedience, and because they acted against the God they claimed to know, worthless for doing anything good, because people who live in rebellion against God cannot do any works that please the Lord Jesus Christ. Saints of God, it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. And I'm here to let you know that we are entering into a place and time now that I truly believe God has raised you and I up in this generation that we live in to see the coming of the Lord. Oh, that's right. And I can't wait. I can't wait to be snatched out of here. I can't wait to have the new body, to be removed from this body of flesh that's diseased, that's growing old, that will go to the dirt, that will go back to the dust. How many of you at home want that brand new body? Oh, that's right. Well, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and know without a shadow of a doubt that He's coming again. Praise God. How many believe He's coming again? Oh, yes, He is. Oh, yes, He is. He's coming again, saints of God. And listen, maybe, just maybe, some of you are there listening and maybe have never entered into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a coincidence that you've logged on this evening. God is getting your attention. God is changing things in your life that's drawing you to the cross. And if that's you, you need to surrender now. Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can live a true, pure, and holy life with the righteousness of Christ upon your life. Even though we'll live in this body of flesh that still has shortcomings and we still sin, but we've been washed in the blood and filled with the Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit of promise. That's what you need, my friends. That's what you need for your life. That's what your family needs. That's what your friends need. That's what your boss needs. Those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is soon to come. And he's gathering millions around the world in this last outreach, this last grasp of saints that would surrender to Him. My friends, I hope this is you. And if this is you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's tuned in to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would also give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And so, bow your heart and your head with me and receive Jesus for the very first time. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise in the house. Someone just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus. Now look at our banner down below. That's our website. Log on. Our email's there. Our phone number's there. Reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible. We want to send you off in the right direction. Point you to a good church that teaches the unadulterated Word of God. Praise God. Also, my friends, down below, as you can see, many of you have consistently been a true blessing to the work of the ministry here at Amazing Grace. And we are mighty, mighty thankful for all of your monetary donations. Why? Because donations are deeply appreciated. Praise God. Praise God. Well, my friends, we concluded chapter 1 in the book of Titus. We will be in chapter 2 next week. And I'm mighty, mighty thankful that you've tuned in this evening. Looking forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I know we're going to have another power pack worship service and then be teaching the Word of God at 10 o'clock this Sunday morning. So, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I leave you this benediction, and it goes like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we love you. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Take care. God bless you. And we'll see you then. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.